All right. Well, joining me now are Annie Cyrus and Tom Littleton. Guys, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for your flexibility tonight. Hey, guys.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Tom. Hey, I got both of you there. Look at that. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good.
Well, we've got an article here over at worldviewtimes.com that you've written. I'm going to have you tell us about it, Tom, and then we're going to have Annie help us respond because of her great background. Annie is with liveuptofreedom.com, liveuptofreedom.com, and Tom's website is 30piecesofsilver.org, 30piecesofsilver.org. While I work to bring up that website here, Tom, go ahead and tell us what it is. You called me this morning, a big story, and it is a big story. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, you and I follow a lot of this interfaith dialogue among evangelicals, and a couple of the usual suspects would be guys like Bob Roberts, a Texas pastor. He's Southern Baptist, believe it or not, and he's one of the leading guys. We showed how they had worked with an organization on college campuses called Neighborly Faith. Well, I discovered another more recently formed organization called the Multifaith Neighbors Network, and they were gathering together to get Muslims, Christians, and Jews to prepare meals for the Afghan refugees that were being moved into their town. And so I'm following these different tweets, and I run across one with a leader from the Muslim World League, a guy, Muhammad Alisa. And he's in pictures with Bob Roberts, this Texas pastor. And so I look at these pictures. They've just met in D.C. on, I think, the 26th of this month. That's this week. And so I look around, and what they're actually doing is they're meeting with evangelical leaders to discuss this little the Charter of Mecca, which I talk about also in, and this is 13, or rather 30 principles about interfaith dialogue, and it's sort of subscribing to faith-based partnerships, to you know, the talking points of moderate Islam, you know, the whole gamut. And so they're actually meeting with these evangelical leaders and this this leader with the Muslim World League. And who else do I see there in this picture but David Platt, the globalist pastor that you and I have been exposing for a while. And he's the guy from McLean Bible Church. And so these guys are all meeting in D.C.
Go to that picture, Logan. Let's show this picture. That's David Platt. And by the way, I write about David Platt extensively in my book, Marxianity, because he also pushes white privilege big time. Woo-wee! He pushes white privilege big time. I feature him in my documentary Siege and some of the clips about how the church is racist, and we're racist and we don't even know it, and we're submersed in racism. And by the way, this is the guy where, remember, you guys remember when President Trump, when he was president, stopped off at a church and to be for them to pray for him? And you might remember it because it's one of the few times we've ever seen Donald Trump with his hair slicked back. You remember that?
He just came off the golf course,
and everyone probably remembers the picture because it's one of the only times we've ever seen him with his hair slicked back. And he had just come off the golf course, and I guess he ran a comb through his hair, and it was slicked back. And he had this guy pray for him. Well, that was David Platt's church right there in Northern Virginia area. And within a day or so, what did David Platt come out and do?
Well, he came back and apologized for praying for the president, which is absolutely absurd because Paul tells Timothy we should pray for our leaders. I mean, it wasn't a political statement, but his social justice friends began to criticize him, and the guy caved immediately.
And so let's go back to the picture now. So this is a guy I write about extensively in my book, Marxianity. You say, I don't know who the guy is. It doesn't really matter. We're here to tell you he is very influential. The guy on the on the right would be the right of the screen, right? So with his hands in front of him with the blue shirt on and the little beard, that guy is highly influential in the neo-Calvinist world, the Southern Baptist Convention and the neo-Calvinist world. Many of your churches, folks, if you go to like a mainstream evangelical church, many of your pastors are following this guy and his books, and they're doing, your churches are doing his seminars.
He has a book called Radical, a series, and he started a training thing called Radical Intensive. He has another gathering webinar called Secret Church. And he also, we recently found that he was working with World Economic Forum, UN, even OPEC, World Health Organization, driving these organizations' data for a rethink or reimagining of world missions and world funding. He wanted to address the great imbalance in where missions funding goes. Now, why this is important is because for years he was head of the Southern Baptist International Mission Board. That's how influential he is.
Which the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest Protestant denomination or association in America. Let's look at another picture. He would be now second from the right. Bob Roberts would be next to him. By the way, Bob Roberts, Annie and I had a mutual friend who was found dead February of 2020, Phil Haney, whose TV show we produced. He was a former Department of Homeland Security officer. He was exposing a lot of stuff about Islam and many things related to Islam and terrorism. But he spent a lot of time speaking and writing about Bob Roberts and what Bob Roberts was doing with a lot of these interfaith dialogue things. We don't know who took out Phil Haney, but we don't buy the lie he committed suicide and shot himself in the chest next to his truck. But it's kind of been buried by the deep state. But that the point is, our friend who had been on Sean Hannity's show 14 times, we produced his TV show. He sat at this desk and was supposed to come back the next month. Warned us many times, if I've ever found shot dead, I did not shoot myself. And sadly, he was found dead on February 21st. He seemed to be killed on the 20th, found on the 21st. But he was writing about Bob Roberts a lot. I mean, again, this says his death, I don't think it had anything to do with Bob Roberts. The point I'm simply making is he was a former DHS guy, national security guy, who was writing extensively about the dangers of interfaith dialogue and how the Islamist and Muslim Brotherhood use this to penetrate into America through our evangelical groups. And he wrote a lot and spoke a lot for me, including at my Ozarks conference, about Bob Roberts and what. So this, in other words, if Phil were alive today, Annie, don't you believe Phil would be joining us in this conversation right now?
I wish he was, but yes, he would definitely. Well, I think here's what Phil would do. He would join the conversation and he would be like, I told you, I've been telling you, and I will keep telling you. Because for many years, let me just say this because I've been practicing this sentence in my head all afternoon. Tom, I just wanted to say thank you. As an ex-Muslim who's been trying to inform people, when I got the email from Brandon this afternoon, I was so happy that you're paying so much attention to the right details of this information. So I just wanted to thank you for doing what you're doing. And Tom has been doing it. You've been doing it. We've all been doing exactly what we're doing tonight, right here as well, which is Red-Green Axis, interfaith dialogue. At the end of the day, this is a global caliphate movement by the Muslims, who have managed to find a bunch of pastors and churches and rabbis who are willing to look the other way or are more than happy to cooperate because they just don't like America. Or I would go as far as what Phil Haney sometimes say, they hate American values so much that they don't mind making a deal with the devil if that means destroying America the way we know it. And I actually went and read every single part of this Charter of Mecca. The first page, I can give you at least 25 verses from Quran that goes against their charter
Okay, give me a
and
couple. Give
all
me a couple. Give me a couple. Give me a couple, Annie.
this. On first page, what the second thing they say is, we do not believe in religious or ethnicity preferences. Quran says, and we have perfected the religion Islam, and we have sent you the perfected book, the Quran, and the perfect example of a man, Muhammad, and you shall follow Islam. Otherwise, you're an unbeliever. How can they claim that they don't have a religious preference when Quran itself says Islam is the only perfected religion? They say we do not discriminate against religion when we have chapter 5, verse 51. O you who have believed, do not take Christians and Jews as your allies, as they are each other's allies. They say we all need to gather and put an end to terrorism and violence against non-Muslims. How are they going to do that when chapter 9, verse 5 says, and this, kill them wherever you find them? Is that enough or should I keep going?
No, I'm going to do a couple more.
Well, sure. On third page of their Charter of Mecca, they claim that coexistence between Christianity and Islam is it's clearly in evidence in Quran, because Christians are people of the book, where in Quran and also in Hadith by Muhammad himself, it is claimed that Christians are number one non-believers because they believe in Trinity. In Quran, it says, you who have believed, do not commit exaggeration about Allah and do not say the three. Jesus was nothing but a messenger sent by Allah for Muslims.
And they believe that if you believe in the Trinity, that's blasphemy, because they teach that if you believe in the Trinity, you are a polytheist. You believe in many gods. Of course, Christians believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is very hard to understand, but we believe it by faith that they are three in one, not three gods. They're three in one. But they claim if you believe in the Trinity, you're blasphemy, and you believe you're a polytheist. You believe in many gods, right, Annie?
Exactly, and that's why anywhere in Islam or Sharia, you read anything about Jesus, it comes as Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. Nothing but a messenger, nothing but a prophet. That it has been made very clear in the Quran. It is made very clear to every Muslim, especially these leaders who claim to know it all. These are all a bunch of lies. Everything in their Charter of Mecca goes against Quran, Hadith, Sunnah, Surah, everything Sharia. Every single Islamic country supreme leader and muftis are going to stand there and watch all of these people who made up this Charter of Mecca to be executed by words of Allah and acts of Muhammad.
Let's look at the screen here, Logan. Tom, you quote from their document. Again, we put his article up at worldviewtimes.com, where you'll find a lot of articles written by me and Leo Holman as well. Tom's website is, however, 30piecesofsilver.org. Annie's is liveuptofreedom.com. But you'll find this article also on our website at worldviewtimes.com. You say, quote, this is what their initiative is saying: we work with faith leaders to mobilize our congregations to use their vocation to serve others, whether it is in their city or around the world. People of faith should be peacemakers by doing humanitarian projects together, end quote. Then they're going to say, quote, when pastors, imams, rabbis, and other clerics and religious leaders come together to learn from each other, they become models for their own faith communities, end quote. The problem with this is that the Muslims are already lying to us. We know from Annie, she just laid out how they're lying. They're lying to you. They don't even believe what they're saying. This is called taqiyya, by the way, right, Annie? Taqiyya?
Yes, it's absolutely taqiyya, when you're allowed to absolutely sugarcoat, cherry-pick Quran and lie about everything there is to it, including the fact that you're even a Muslim and follow Sharia, if that means you can further the agenda of Islamization.
And then it goes on here to say, multi-faith neighborhood network in the website, Logan, showing hospitality to strangers, Texas churches welcome Afghan refugees. Our co-founder, Bob Roberts Jr., says this moment may mark a change in how evangelicals think about refugees. There's a shift that's taking place. We're coming back to who we are, end quote. Now, folks, you guys will remember that when I had Annie on here, when they first were bringing these Afghans into America, vetted by the Taliban to come through the airport, vetted by the Taliban to get on the airplane, wearing their hijabs, bringing their minor little girls that are their wives, their child brides, and military-aged males. What did I tell you, folks? Go back, check the tape. What did I tell you? Wait till the religious, useful idiots jump on the bandwagon about how great this is. Now let's give them the gospel. Let me tell you something, folks. We have a responsibility to carry out the function of government. Reward the righteous, punish the wicked. That is God's template for government, Romans 13. Reward the righteous, punish punish the wicked. In other words, protect the righteous. Make a stable and just society. That's the goal of civil government, according to God, so that family government and church government can do their job. Three spheres created by God: family government, civil government, church government. We are obliged, according to the Bible, to provide for our family, that's financially and physically, and protect them, or we're worse than the pagan. Nothing in the Bible says we are to skirt the laws and erase borders. The Bible says God draws the borders of nations. God is not for globalism. If he was, he would have never confused the language of the people at the Tower of Babel, Genesis 10 and 11. So God is not for globalism. He is for borders. He draws the borders of nations. So these people, Tom, that think we're somehow needed to erase these borders and all these Afghans in here, and if we don't, we don't love the Muslims, as our critics tell us. We don't want the Muslims to come to Jesus. What we're saying is, no, we'll share the gospel with them, but we're not going to be other useful idiots. We're not going to let them lie to us, and we're not going to let them set up their military base camps here, known as mosque, which France a few years ago shut down all kinds of mosques because they went in there and found military-grade weapon. And we know, if you study the Quran and the Hadiths, and Annie can speak to it after I'm done with my soapbox and you speak, that the mosque is more than a place of religious practice. It is a seat of government, and it is an armory. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, we see that they're wanting to build this narrative for Bob Roberts' group around community, cooperation, and the common good. So we see how the cultural Marxists have really primed the church to accept this narrative. And you asked me about the connection of this Muslim World League to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
And immediately upon searching that, I found where a guy, Andrew McCarthy, a former federal prosecutor who actually has spoken before Congress, wrote the book, The Grand Jihad. He actually said in 2012 that it is perhaps the most significant Muslim Brotherhood organization in the world.
Whoa. He's testified before Congress, and he has said, and what was his other titles? He's a former prosecutor?
Yeah, former prosecutor, federal prosecutor. But he said that this Muslim World League, under its former leader, its former Secretary General, in 2012, he described it as perhaps the most significant Muslim Brotherhood organization in the world. And this is who our Baptist and evangelical leaders are shaking hands with and meeting and discussing this Charter of Mecca.
And the reason I asked you to check out Muslim Brotherhood is because, as I said at the beginning of the program tonight, Muslim Brotherhood started by Syed Qutb in 1928. They went on to be involved in the Holocaust with the Grand Mufti of Palestine, al-Husseini, who the Nuremberg trial shows used to show up incognito at the death camps to make sure that they were speeding along the murder of the Jews. And I've even watched documentaries on the History Channel and have them in one of my documentaries as well, the clip, where it is known that he, the Grand Mufti, was pressuring Hitler not to let some of the Jews leave and go to Hungary and Bulgaria, but to go ahead and kill them. And that included many thousands of children. That's Muslim Brotherhood. This is, again, who gave us Hamas in the 80s, a terrorist organization. In America now, since the 90s, it's known as the Council on Islamic Relations. On your college students' campuses, about 600-700 campuses across America, it's known as Muslim Student Association. Annie, the point is, these guys are playing patty cake, and some of these guys are open Jew-hating, Holocaust-denying, Hitler-defending, jihadi-preaching imams.
Well, the last paragraph you were reading there, it reminded me of two things that I have always said, or at least since I started doing this. Number one, remember Quran chapter 47, verse 35, 47:35, and do not call on peace while you are superior in numbers. Watch what they're doing. They're not even hiding it. The closing sentence was what? We're going back to? Do you remember that sentence? That, yeah.
We're going back to who we are. This is Bob Roberts.
Even in your documentary, The Siege, I said this. The day of peace will arrive for Muslims when all breeding humans are Mohammedans. Until every human is Muslim, because under Islam, the claim is we were all born Muslims, well, but rest of the people who are not ex-Muslims, and then they turn their back to Islam. That is exactly what they're doing. They claim to be working with rabbis, where in the Hadith it says the last day will not arrive until stones will talk and say, hey, Muslim, there's a Jew hiding behind me. Come and kill it.
That's right.
I would like to talk to every single rabbi who's working with these people and say, which one is it? Are you just self-hating? Or are you dead uneducated that you're willing to shake hands with people who believe that until they kill every single one of you, they will not have their last day?
Tom, you want to respond?
Well, obviously, the evangelicals and the Jewish leaders who are buying into this are either some special kind of fools or else they're actually working for the enemy. They're covert operators. And I think there's some of both. Clearly, you and I know some of these evangelical leaders are not the brightest bulb in the box.
They're not.
But money is such an easy enticement. And, and when Saudi guys come over here, many of them billionaires, or they're funded by the Saudi government, you never know what kind of funding is behind all this and how much of that is going into a guy like Robert's organizations. We know Templeton Foundation funded this, and they want to meld all the religions together, and they don't want to support anyone who's subscribing to any sacred text. But of course, as we know with the Islamists in this situation, they're acting like they're moderates and they're open to moderating Islam, when in fact, Annie's already shown us that that's not the case. They're not being truthful and honest.
Logan, is Diamond and Silk, are they live tonight? Okay. What I want to do real quick before I go, Annie, respond to the mosque. What are these mosques, by the way? Are they just religious centers?
Absolutely not. That's the interesting part. If you read the Quran, the entire Quran, there's only twice that a word mosque is mentioned, and it's not for the purpose of a mosque, but rather it's talking about the Holy Land. Other than that, there is no mention of mosque inside Quran. Mosques were built by Muhammad, which is started within Sharia based on Hadith and his life story. Every time he conquered an area, he would have a mosque build up, not build necessarily. He would take one of the buildings and turn it into the mosque as a sign of conquer of the land.
Oh, you mean so like they're doing in Europe, where they're taking the great churches and cathedrals of Europe and turning them into mosques?
Exactly. That's what Muhammad did. That's what they're going to do. Remember, Muhammad is the perfect example of a man, and you shall follow his footsteps. That's what Muslims do.
I don't want to sound... but in one way, because I'm not going to laugh, I'm going to cry, but in one way, you're going to want to look. Here's what, when they take these useful idiots, these religious leaders' churches, and they dwindle and no one goes to them anymore because they got, skinny jean wearing feminized pansies in the pulpit, and finally people decide these guys are full of it and don't want to go anymore to these fake churches, and they can't afford to pay, the bills to keep the thing maintenanced and heated and aired and cooled, and nobody shows up, who's going to snap it up is going to be the Muslims. And I'm going to be there to make sure that I tell these guys, I told you so, because that's who's going to end up owning some of these guys' property, don't you think, Annie?
Of course. Well, here's the thing. When you sent me the information about the guy who met with Pope instead of the leader, I looked him up. What is it? Abdul Aziz Sarhan. I looked him up, and I don't know how much you know about him. For a few minutes, I was just sitting there staring at my phone. I actually have it pulled up here. I'm like, are people just completely... what's going on? Because this guy who met with Pope yesterday, apparently, and the rest of the names that we've been talking about tonight, that should be enough for everybody to know. If we don't do anything about it, and by anything, I mean if we don't stand up and actually do the right thing, forget about the lands and the churches. Soon enough, they're going to be flying the Muslim Brotherhood flag on top of our White House, as Phil Haney always said is their final goal to do so.
And
they're way ahead of us.
Who is this guy that met with the Pope Francis yesterday? Who is he?
Okay, so his name is Dr. Abdul Aziz Sarhan, and he is currently the Secretary General of the Muslim World League. Now, here's his quick resume. He was born in Mecca in 1950. He completed his education there, and then he got his diploma in Mecca in 1973. Then he received his master's degree in social studies from the University of Denver, Colorado.
So is he connected back to this? Is he connected to this Muslim World League that we're talking about right now?
He is currently the secretary. Hold on, let me go back up. He's the secretary general of the Muslim World League.
He's
the guy who met with the Pope yesterday. It was on their tweet. They tweeted it out.
So that's your red-green axis right there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it goes on with he's got all of his degrees from doctorate and master degrees here in America. His dad. And then this is where it gets interesting. I'm glad you said the mosque thing. Listen to this. From 95 to 97, he was the director of the office of the Muslim World League in South Africa. He's connected to Muslim League since 1995. And then, interesting enough, he was also the appointed director of the office of Muslim World League in France. And then he was also the representative of the International Islamic Relief Organization in Spain between 95 and 96. And then in the year 95, he served as the secretary of European Continental Board of Mosques. You know what that means?
What?
He was in charge of literally a collaboration and cooperation between every single mosque that was built in Europe between 93 and 95.
And now he's working with all these evangelical useful idiots here in America who are going to play.
Yes.
And again, don't forget that Syed Qutb, a leading scholar of Muslim Brotherhood, he's dead now. Syed Qutb said again, interfaith dialogue, which is what these guys are doing, is a one-way bridge to bring the non-Muslim to our side, not the other way around. He openly admitted it, right, Annie?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. Interfaith dialogue is exactly what Quran has told Muslims and warned non-Muslims about. Again, this is about global Islamization. Everybody needs to become a Muslim. Options are convert or kill. Again, there are more than 131 verses in Quran that says how to deal with non-Muslims. Options are convert or kill. Convert or kill.
And you can also tax them, right? You can the jizya, right?
Yes, you can do the jizya, but here's the thing. The bottom line, even for jizya, is a still convert or kill, because when you're a second-class citizen and you pay the jizya, then you will have limitations on your jobs. Therefore, you won't make enough money to cover your taxes. Therefore, at some point, we go back to bottom line, convert or die.
Oh, wow. All right. Closing comments from you, Tom?
Well, people need to be aware that if their pastors are involved in this kind of stuff, they also are trying to hook you and your family, and especially your grown children, your college-age children. They're trying to hook you into this big volunteer army. They want you to come out and serve the Afghan refugees. They want you to be the welcome wagon and the and provide the free labor, the human resources for this. When in fact, most of this with the American churches is being done as part of the faith-based partnerships, which actually forbids any type of ministry, any type of explicitly religious activity or distributing Bibles, holding prayer. So they're telling you this is ministry when ministry is actually forbidden. You're not going to lead Muslims to Christ this way.
No. No, they're laughing at you. By the way, you know, Tom, because you read this book, and I think you endorsed the book, but I quote you in the book, and I had you look over this book before it published. You know that this book, Marxianity, came out November 2018, and you know that I warned about a lot of this in this book, right?
Yep, you nailed it. You nailed it. And if people are listening, if they've been listening since then, they'll see this stuff as it's being unveiled. It is getting more obvious, and they better be paying attention.
And again, I'm making this book available, 336 pages, for $4.99. Okay, so by the time I pay the kids, the high school and college kids, to pack it up, we're not making money. This isn't about making money. If I wanted to make money, I already sold out the first printing. I would do the second printing, sell it for $20 like I did the first printing. I'm selling it for $4.99 because this isn't about money. This is about trying to wake people up and save the country, or we're toast. So again, everything we're talking about, I deal with a lot of this in the book, Marxianity. Again, how the evangelical deep state and their useful idiots, like we've been talking about tonight, are merging Marxism and Christianity through social justice, white privilege, cultural Marxism, illegal immigration. We talked about that tonight. Yes, Afghans coming here. Illegal immigration, interfaith dialogue, and more. You can order it at wvwtv.com/store, wvwtv.com/store. And I made it $4.99, hoping you'd order quantities and give it out. You can find Tom's articles at 30piecesofsilver.org, 30piecesofsilver.org. You'll find this article also featured at the headline of our website now, worldviewtimes.com. And Annie's website is liveuptofreedom.com, liveuptofreedom.com. Tom, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, brother. Good to be with you.
And Annie, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
I'm sure we'll have a lot more
can
to talk.
Can I say something before you go? Five seconds.
Yeah.
To add to what Tom said, anybody, if your church is trying to get you or your children to help in any shape or form with Afghan refugee resettlement, please remember, our government signed a $5 billion budget for their housing. They don't need your help. They don't need your donation. They don't need money. Let it go.
Let it go.
They got $5 billion of our tax money to build them fancy houses and get them wonderful clothing and good cars and possibly rest of their life getting money from us. So please don't buy into that. If you want to donate, there are wonderful causes to donate to. Do not support this Afghan refugee resettlements because they don't need our help.
It's a jihadi resettlement.
I didn't want to go that far. Every donation you make, you might as well start giving your money to mosques.
So you agree with me, though, that there are jihadis among this group?
Of course. They are jihadi. They are jihadis in there. They are those Muslim who are going to watch the jihadis who are going to kill us. There are those who are absolutely, they have no problem raping non-Muslims, kidnapping our little girls, turning them into their child brides. Hey, the cases are already out there, aren't they, Brent? We talked about it on your program.
Absolutely.
They've done it.
Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate you guys.